Sports Wrap.
With Nearly Meadows on the line from the United Arab Emirates, where she's involved with the IPL, which we'll get to in just a minute. But Nearly, we'll start with the sad passing of Dean Jones. Can we hear it from your end? Obviously, he was over there reporting on the IPL with Brett Lee, who we know was there. How did you hear the news, and what did you make of it from your end?
Well, all broke really, really quickly, Mick. It happened suddenly in Mumbai, and as you say, Brett Lee was an absolute hero involved in the whole thing. And I actually heard first from, believe it or not, a journalist in Australia, and it was happening, it was spreading so quickly. And I mean, it was just devastating, and I think we're all shocked. I found out here and obviously found out that I'd be hosting the whole thing from Dubai, because obviously they were just in pieces in Mumbai. This is a guy that's worked with Star Sports for around half a dozen years, so super close with a lot of the people, both on air and behind the scenes. All the producers and crew that I was working with were devastated, because he was one of those guys that when he walked into the room, you definitely didn't miss him. He was such, you know, he was so larger than life. He was so lovely to me over so many years covering cricket. Always had time for everyone. Didn't care what your pedigree was, whether you played a game or not. Just wanted to talk to anyone and loved the game more than probably anyone else I've ever met. So changed the way that it was played as well. So it really hit a lot of people very, very hard. And I just thought the way that Brett Lee and Scott Cyrus handled themselves that night, they still called the game, even though just hours earlier they were trying to save their mate.
That's incredible.
How did he do that? How did he do it?
Yeah, he is honestly, we talk about sports people being heroes. In this particular circumstance, Brett Lee was a hero.
He did everything he humanly possibly could. I'm watching the IPL, and what would Dean Jones have done if the 2020 was big in his day and age?
I mean, he was such an innovator at the time. He changed the way that one day cricket was played, and everyone wanted to play like Dino as Aussie kids. So many cricket shots were kind of almost invented off his bat. He would have been amazing in T20, and he loved it. He loved watching it. He loved talking about it and inspiring, you know, the next generation through his words. So he was one of those people, whether it was mic in hand or bat in hand.
What would he have done in the T20 era?
Word. He'd smash it, smash it.
We had AB on the other day, and he was saying how, you know, they worked out pretty quickly that the 50-50 game came down to your top three. If your top three got off, then you had a crack. And he used to come in at first drop because he could change. And there was a wonderful tribute back here, I'm sure you've heard about, which is Tonk It for Dino, which was everyone smashing tennis balls in their backyard.
But how many people that we've seen saying that he was their hero? Like that he was sort of the guy, their pin-up boy on their walls for that generation.
Yeah, and it was true as well watching him. But like I say, it was the fact in the later years, he just had time for everyone. He really, truly did. I know that's kind of one of those things that we say about people, but he genuinely would stand and talk to you about cricket for as long as you wanted to. And in, you know, many circles, that's not necessarily the case, particularly for a chick like me who never played the game. Yeah. He was never one of those people, so passionate about the game.
Well, good on him. And now the IPL has to forge on, and is, and we'll quickly touch on Steve Smith's record run chase. Can you talk us through that quickly?
He absolutely nailed it. Made a few decisions that raised eyebrows as skipper last night, but 50 runs off 27 balls, a record chase in the IPL. So 224 victory. They pulled it off. He sent a bloke into bat we were sitting there going, what are you doing, mate? He had 17 off 23 when they needed to be going at basically 18 and over. Mickey, it was hilarious. The bloke down the other end was sitting there going, not taking singles because he didn't want to give him the strike. Then all of a sudden, this same bloke hit 5 sixes in one over, and it was all over Red Rover. It was one of the most entertaining games. Well done, Steve Smith. Great captaincy.
Wonderful. Right. Now let's change our stride if we could.
Yeah, could I take us to France and the French Open?
This is brilliant. I mean, I know I'm being a bit of a diva over here because it's sweaty and hot in the UAE and it's crazy under the studio lights, but Victoria Azarenka has kind of almost threatened to walk off at the French Open because it's a bit chilly, a bit brisk. 8 degrees, she said. It was too cold to play tennis. She ended up going and winning her opening match. But to be fair, I think it was the drizzle and a little bit of rain that was...
I think we've got some audio here.
Let's have a listen.
I asked my opponent if she wants to wait on the court or she wants to go off court, and she said she doesn't want to wait on the court. So I'm not going to waste my time sitting there and getting cold. There should be some real good... feedback and explanations and conversations with players, that's for a fact.
I'm guessing in Belarus, where she grew up, it wasn't that warm when she was learning to play tennis.
And I think she might be based in Florida now as well, but obviously the French Open is a lot later this year than what we're used to with COVID. But I just think, read the room. Everything, just to get a sporting event up at the moment is a big thing.
Can I suggest we team her up with Bernard Tomic, who walked off the Miami Open because it was too hot. We put them together and we get a pup from the litter and get the sookiest tennis player to ever play the game.
Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy, we've got the Song Whisperer, and Hamish Blake, who's not too far away. But from the UAE, we've got Nerilee Meadows with us.
Des, the Broncos have got their first wooden spoon. What's the fallout? What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
This is unbelievable, isn't it? The first wooden spoon in their 33-year history. It was just a nightmare season on and off.
It's not going to go well.
Kevin Walters sounds like he's going to get the job this week ahead of Paul Green. Obviously, Anthony Seibold lost it a few weeks ago. But the thing that everyone's talking about at the moment, believe it or not, is a gender reveal.
Oh my God, I'm so over these.
They lost their final game, 33-16 to the Cowboys. That Darius Boyd, who is retiring, decided that he would do a gender reveal by kicking the footy into the stands, surrounded by his teammates, and then there was a pink puff of dust that revealed, presumably, that he was having a baby girl. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of gender reveals at the best of times, but that timing is surely a little bit off.
That's no good.
A little bit. And also,
they're all cheering and clapping.
And P.S., where's his wife?
Yes.
Like, it's funny. It's like there is... they're his partners all standing there. There's a few, that's a lot to unload.
The Broncos chairman, Carl Morris, said he was embarrassed and disgusted. And by the way, there were fans that were throwing actual wooden spoons on the ground at training.
Yeah, I heard that.
So the fans are not happy. But Bellamy, it sounds like they're trying to get him involved. But it's all a bit of a weird situation at the moment. I believe he's at the Storm until the end of next year.
He's got one more year on his contract.
Yeah, even Walters was sort of a bit like, oh, I haven't actually heard about this. So I think there's a fair bit to play out on that one.
All right. And just quickly, there's an Aussie kicker for San Francisco who's a punter. He went through an entire game.
Mitch Wishnowsky.
Didn't kick one. Is that right?
So Mitch Wishnowsky, great bloke. Met him at the Super Bowl earlier this year. Was trying to become the first Aussie to win a Super Bowl. In the 49ers, he didn't have a punt, which means on his $3.2 million contract, he earned $42,000 for doing absolutely stuff all. But I love this because he's a bloke from Gosnells in WA. And when he tried to start this punting dream, he was basically had no home in Melbourne, thought about living in the gym for a couple of nights before a friend stepped in. So he has gone from rags to riches, and I love it.
And he gets to wear the San Francisco 49ers. That's what I love.
I can't wait to negotiate my new contract. I want $42,000 a day for doing nothing.
Wow.
Thank you.
So status quo then.
Good on you, Niz.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Nerilee Meadows joining us there. It is Kennedy Malloy. And is it time for this guy?
Jane, the Song Whisperer.
I think it is.
Hello, Song Whisperer.
Nerilee just zinged me then, and I don't appreciate it.
Does she what?
She just zinged me.
Yeah. Oh,
on the way out.
What?
She should do nothing.
See, Wells, I said I want $42,000 for doing nothing a day, and she goes, so status quo then.
Yeah. She knows you well, that's why.
That's rude.
You're better than anyone.
Right?
You guys go way back.
Yeah. See me in my office.
Right.
Hey, all right, Song Whisperer, wherever that is. What do you
yes.
got? Synopsis, let's get into this, yeah?
All right, a man shares his vulnerability. He suffers at the hands of others. Thoughtless mockery, harsh admonishment, the emotional slings and arrows at times when he least expects it. He reacts with tears, with alcohol, with escape. But then things turn around and the judgments of others become less important and his will to live is replenished.
Mandy. By Barry Manilow. That's where I'm going.
Baz. It's not Barry Manilow.
Suspicious Minds by the great Elvis Presley.
Wow. Yeah. It is not Suspicious Minds by Elvis Presley.
What about Tears of a Clown? By Caligula. A good cover, that song.
Gosh, I've not heard that for a long time. I like that track.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a no, too.
It is not the Tears of the Clown.
All right. What is this guy? Is he a bit of a dick?
No. He's turn around.
He's a little bit woozy. He's a bit woozy. Okay. I don't know.
But these things happen together, to him when he least expects it. It's happening in times when he's, you know, somebody is having a go at him, and he's like, "Hey, what did I do?"
Bad Leroy Brown. Bad Leroy Brown.
He
needs to harden up.
Right. All right. Well, if you know, 133353, that's the number. We've got some good prizes, including a case of Big Way and the new draft as well.
Oh, that's a great prize.
Get amongst it. Song Whisperer.